Hello, and welcome to Hindsight and apparently Organization 13. all of my players are bundled up in black, covering their faces at the moment. I don't know exactly what's happening, but welcome. Say hello, players.
Hello, players.
Yeah, I didn't know you were getting called out, did you? No, I actually had to Google the name because I was like, who are they called again? I don't know. Anyways, welcome back. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Before we get into things, I do want to, well, of course, we're going to have our episode's recipe. And I guess I haven't explained that for a while. Mm-hmm. So if you actually go to our website, hindsight20-20.com, you can find under the extras tab, there's a little recipes section. And under there, we have a bunch of themed recipes to go with some of our different episodes. And some of them are kind of sort of pre-planned when we're going to be in an area. And I feel like this could be the kind of food there. Others are things that just are born out of natural role play that we've like, hey, we gotta come up with something to like make a fun food item for it. But yeah, it was just a fun little idea we had to try to experience the adventure in a different way. And the recipes go up every Friday prior to that Monday's episode. So you have time to gather recipes and plan to make it and have it while you listen. So Sarah, looked like you wanted to add something extra to that.
It's Taste the Adventure.
Taste the Adventure. Thank you. I am clearly not in charge of that.
No. I like experience the adventure.
Oh, yes. Sorry. So you can taste the adventure. There we go. I'm still learning.
But
without further ado, no, I'm not cutting anything. Unless it's on a whim. I don't know. Every episode's different. Depends on how I'm feeling. But without further ado, Sarah, would you introduce this week's recipe?
Okay. What is the best type of travel food? It might be a divisive question, but wraps and sandwiches, especially if you can eat with your hands, but you don't actually have to touch the food. It's the perfect food on the go. So enter this travel light fare, a chicken Caesar wrap. It's a salad and a sandwich all wrapped in one delicious meal. You can pack it in parchment paper to keep things mess free, and you can throw in whatever veggies you want or swap out the dressing. And it's kind of the whole package. My opinion, some black olives would have been a nice touch for this one. I'm making sure to say that in the recipe.
That sounds incredible.
Wow.
It is.
Nobody could say no to that.
No.
You'd have to be heartless to dislike that. Ansem loves it.
Ansem. Oh, heartless. Okay, I'm catching up.
How easy is it to get?
Pretty good.
How easy is it to get sued for saying proper names? IPs.
No, we're allowed to.
We're fine, right?
Reference.
Yeah, we can reference.
We
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Technology is changing fast, y'all.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
understand
true.
The world. I am just a mere old DM. thank you for that, Sarah. Again, you can find that at hindsight20-20.com under extras/recipes. And yeah, without further ado, welcome back to Hindsight 2020.
The listener.
The listener. Well, previously, I guess we more or less finished a little bit of arc of the story. Mm-hmm. After three adventurers were in Perlin's Pier, had a little scuffle with a young dragon, turned out to be missing its mother, and y'all, through some investigation, found that dragon at the Perlin Plastics and Textiles Factory. They were reunited, they departed, and then y'all spent some time wandering about town, taking in the sights, seeing some shows, going to taverns. And last we saw you, it was late evening as you were heading off towards the train station. You arrive at the train station and you see an older man in a dark sage green vest and gold chain. He's holding out of his pocket a little pocket watch. Y'all would recognize this man as the same one you exchanged tickets with from the ticket booth before your entertainment, leisure activity. You would recognize this man from exchanging the ticket prior to your leisure activity at the Grenadine Grove. He is running up and down the station platform. Not running, very brisk walking back and forth, just checking things out, trying to make sure it's like, hey, we're getting close. It's time to go. Everyone up and loading. Everything good? Ooh. Do anyone need any help? Everything, so on and so forth. And you can see that parts of the station have already begun to be shut down, like the ticket counter that you were at earlier. Like there's now like a gate locked down in front of it, and things. It seems very, very much that this is the last train of the evening. The train itself is a nice little, not little. It's a decent size engine. It has green paneling with gold trimming and fixtures on it. So the smokestack even has a bit of a golden color to it. It is a much nicer train than the one that Ziggy worked on for Perlin's Plastics. Those trains were very clearly used for cargo and industrial work, whereas this has a bit more of a customer-facing face. As y'all look at the train, you can see there's a dozen or so cars, and you know, you got your train, you got your tinder, you got your engine, your tinder car, and then you have just some really nice, like green paint, gold trim cars going back to some fairly standard looking green ones, and even older ones that have bits of the paint and trim coming off and chipping. It's even from the outside, you can see that the front end's a little more polished than the tail. In addition to that, there are some murals painted on the sides of the train cars. On one, there is a little bit of a landscape with really nice cobblestone roads, bunches of avenue and light pole banners, heraldic flags, all about just signs of celebration. And there's like hints of confetti falling down in the foreground. Another one, just it's a green landscape with just rows of hedges. There's a little bit of a hedge maze, a bunch of trees, fruit trees, and a third mural that appears to be like little smaller plots of land, almost like little islands that are separated by various sized bodies of water. And they have lots of bridges connecting various pieces of land. There's also off on the right side, there is like a little, you can just see the silhouette of what looks like a punt, a little boat being punted across one of the gaps between the little islands, for lack of better words. I would like you two to give me, Ziggy and Marion, to give me insight checks.
Ooh.
And
five.
Marion, you would actually do yours with advantage for reasons.
Ooh. Five.
With advantage?
Yes.
Five. What? So immediately, this guy's one of my favorite dice.
In jail.
Betrayed me.
So you get this strange suspicion that you've seen something like these landscapes before. For Ziggy, it's like a fleeting image. Like maybe you glanced at it once, maybe you saw it on a sign, maybe you saw a pamphlet, you're not sure. For Marion, it is eating at the back of your brain why these images are so vivid to you, why you feel like there's something you should remember about them. On the foremost passenger car, it's the one sitting behind the tinder car, one of the really nice ones with the fancy trim and plating on it, there is a final mural that it's this single solitary peak surrounded by a city. The bottom half of the peak is covered in trees before it becomes barren and snow-capped as you ascend. And you can see hints of train tracks looping around the mountain and climbing higher and higher. And if you look really closely, you can even see hints of little chutes and slides coming off of the mountains at various points. Some of them appear to be running down to a little bit of an industrial district. You can see hints of smokestacks and such in the back. The background of the mountain. And Ziggy and Marion would both recognize this as a mural and depiction of Isant.
Ooh.
And that is the train.
I absolutely would not recognize. I would recognize the third one, though, probably, yes? With the islands and the bridges?
No.
Oh.
No, you would not.
It just feels familiar.
I called them islands at the very tail end of that, but it's more almost like...
you said separated by various bodies of water.
Yes, it's more... Different. It's not necessarily swampland, but it is like overrun with water with higher points
wetland.
Of land. Wetland, thank you. Such a easy word.
It's one of those words that feels like it shouldn't be a real word.
Yeah. You're like, this is a joke, right? It's too straightforward. But yes, that is the train before you. Anything you'd like to do?
Follow Ziggy's lead. He seems nervous. Should we get on the train? The conductor guy? He seems nervous.
He keeps bustling forward and almost like kind of half almost steps on Bokoku quickly. Right out of the way because you're so quick. And he's like, oh, so sorry. We're just trying to get these things going. Do you have, get on.
Ooh, okay.
Sounds good. Is there any kind of security checks or anything we need to do?
There will be a man checking your tickets at the front gate. If you'll give me just a moment, we have a bit of an issue here.
What's the issue?
He doesn't even listen to you. He wanders off to a little further towards the front of the car. There is a small little, looks like a little halfling boy. He has a similar little conductor hat, but it kind of has a little strap on it. It makes it almost look like more like a little bellhop cap, and just has kind of a patchwork of this kind of sage vest. It's much less well kept from the man running around with the stopwatch. And next to the boy, the halfling boy with the in the bellhop garb, there are various crates and large luggage containers. And next to him is a long, slender male tabaxi. He is taller than even Robert Perlin himself. We're talking somewhere in the range of 6'8", 6'10", maybe up to 7 feet.
What?
But he is long. He is
Maine Coon.
He's not in appearance. He's not unlike coat wise. He's not unlike an orange tabby cat.
Oh,
he has these long limbs and features, but for all his stretch, like think like Jack Skellington, just tall and just limbs. But with all those limbs and that length, he still has a bit of a paunch in his belly.
Oh.
And he has tufts of white fur on his cheeks and above his eyes that, from a distance, almost looks like he has a mutton chop beard with this white contrasting with the orange. And he's perpetually squinting. Kind of implies that he needs glasses, but perhaps refuses to get them. And otherwise, he almost has what looks like a safari outfit on. He has a pith helmet. He has the tan shirt, long pants that look like shorts because, you know, they don't really build pants that long. And he's just sitting there and he's like, okay, well, I've told you exactly who I am and why I am here. And I don't understand why you cannot let me into the first class car. And the little traveling boy's like, I'm sorry, your tickets for steerage. I don't exactly have the authority to bump you upward. Mr. Clementine? And he's like, all right, what's going to happen here? And the man runs up and they start continuing their squabble with this tabaxi fellow, just seeming more off-put and just grimacing more as the conversation occurs.
Does it look like whatever is going on there is going to need to be resolved before the train's going to take off?
Yes, it does. Mm.
Okay.
Won't even make your roll for that.
Do we get a race on Mr. Clementine?
I think he's a human male,
human,
I believe.
Okay, yeah.
That is what I wrote last time. I did this great thing where I described a character without mentioning species, and I kind of just went with it and hoped no one would notice.
We can just assume human,
yeah,
right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Is that racist?
In this area, species, really.
And is where this commotion is happening where we need to get on for first
class?
Yes,
he is. Go ahead and, if you'd like, give me a perception check for listening specifically.
Nine?
Based on what I said before and just a few murmurings, he seems to be indignant and, like, insistent on being allowed in first class regardless of what his ticket says. And that's about all you can gather.
Okay. I'm going to head over there then. So I'll turn to you both and let you know. So I'm pretty sure that's where we need to get on. So I'm not sure what's going on over there, but they're kind of in our way as well.
Oh.
All right.
Maybe they need a consultation.
Oh.
You know, you might be right.
Let's go queue behind him. Or no. I mean, it sounded like he's not supposed to be here, so let's queue in front of him.
I'm going to go walk
I think that's a better call.
Walk up and try and squeeze in front of him and say, excuse me, sorry. I just need to get in there. Just getting past you.
Either give me...
I'm so small, he probably won't see
me. Yeah, either give me a dexterity check or a charisma check. We're either going sneaky amazing. Or diplomacy. Take your pick.
Amazing.
Okay, hang on. Let's go 12 charisma.
12 charisma? So you know, as happily, gingerly as a chicken can
trying
come
to
across.
Trying to be somewhat polite, but in a, you know you're doing the wrong thing here kind of way, you know?
Well, as you try to kind of casually ease on in there, the tabaxi is like, oh no, no, they have to help me first, the rest of you will have to wait.
I mean, there's no problems with our tickets, so they can help us really quickly. And then
I suppose you don't know.
You have to wait anyway, so.
You don't know who I am either, do you?
Well,
Such a shame.
Sir, what seems to be the problem here?
What seems to be the problem is that I am Archimedes Softpaw Longfellow, and I have the greatest discovery this continent has seen in millennia. And he gestures to what best looks like a large birdcage, almost like Tweety birdcage structure, but it has this thick canvas cloth draped over it and tied at the bottom. And you can just, every now and then, it seems like something hits or jostles the canvas.
I'm absolutely going to reach over and try and peek through the canvas. Is there a gap in it somewhere? Like, I'm just going to open any gap.
It is tied down.
Okay.
So you could potentially
try and get
do
up
a
close
stealth.
And try and peek through, see if I can see through the holes, like cover with my wings a little
okay.
bit.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and give me a stealth for this one.
Okay.
How thick is the fabric?
It's like a canvas material, like almost like a drop cloth.
Pretty
it's,
thick.
It's, yeah, it's surprisingly thick for a cage like this.
So that is 18.
18? So you start to sneak your way over and peek underneath, and for a brief moment you see something move in there, and then you feel a little bit of a tabaxi foot give you a little bit of a boot. Not enough to hurt you, but enough to be like, excuse me, I don't appreciate you taking a glimpse in that. That is not to be revealed until I can show it to the higher-ups.
Sorry,
at the
did you
Academy
say
of Morrow.
Mr. Longclaw, was it?
It could be anything
soft
in there.
Softpaw Longfellow. Archimedes Softpaw Longfellow. Remember the name.
Sorry, I'm terrible with names. It's not going to happen.
We know it's not just a dead fish or a dying fish in there?
Well, it's not for you. It is for the academics.
Okay,
in
but
Morrow.
This is the whole reason why you're holding up the train. So, wait, you got to convince us too.
Well, look.
I have to convince you of nothing. What authority do you have here?
What authority do you have here?
I am Archimedes Softpaw Longfellow.
I'm not convinced. You've got maybe a dead fish in a birdcage over here, and you're trying to tell us that you're
sorry, you know
some famous so-and-so.
I'm done with this. Can you just
shoo them along their way, and he's like,
"Our way is into the train,
they
sir.
They have tickets. They kind of have to."
Mister Longfellow, there's no reason to be rude or to kick my companion here.
There is no intention to be rude. Your companion was rude first. I just gave him a bit of a shove.
Is there something wrong with your ticket? Like, why aren't they letting you on?
Well, there seems to have been a mistake when I was separated from the rest of my group. Well, you see, we had been venturing a bit to the south of here. We started off as far as we could get. First, we wandered off down to Bayou, and then we eventually made our way up to the jungles of Ventura, where I found these lovely little pixies that I believe they're a special breed.
And is that what's in there?
Yes, well, when we were we made it back to hop a train back to Isant, so I could then make my way tomorrow. It seems one of my companions told me the wrong train, I imagine. I ended up going eastbound instead of west, and now I'm just trying to make it back there. And I would just like, something to compensate for the trouble that's been caused me.
Let's see your ticket.
And he produces a ticket that it's a steerage ticket.
Can I grab it?
Just this traveling take a look at companion it? Of yours.
No, I mean, sure.
This traveling companion of yours, did they happen to have a specimen of their own?
They shouldn't. I didn't think about that. No, I'm concerned. It wasn't just a companion.
Like
it was
a competitor.
It was, well, there were no, so far as I knew, there were no competitors on my team, but it did seem odd that the rest of the team got on the correct train and I didn't.
So I don't get the problem. I'm looking at this ticket and it does say first class, and I'm going to show his ticket that I've cast Silent Image on.
Oh my gosh.
To make it look like our first class tickets.
Give me either a sleight of hand or deception. Just because you are casting a spell, and you do want that to go unnoticed.
14?
14?
For sleight of hand.
I'll say decent enough. There's, Archimedes is not a small figure that you can, quickly block from view, and he's making a big enough fuss that pretty good distraction.
So he's like, that's what I thought. Yes.
I went with the wrong guy. Well, interesting. So, problem solved, yes?
Seems like an honest mistake to me.
All right, get on.
Of course.
And he just kind of gives the slightest nod to Ziggy, and then looks to the halfling and is like,
take my cargo to the steerage. Here's an extra gold piece if you put this cage somewhere very special.
I'd say, well, sir, I could probably put it in we could block it away in the caboose area.
That would be perfect. Thank you.
And he goes to slowly, goes to move towards the train to step in.
You know he's going to take a peek at that thing, right?
Are you following him onto the train?
No,
I will follow directly behind him on the train, and I want to look back and just kind of point my head towards Boko and Marin to just kind of be like, hint.
Come with.
Do you see where they're taking that thing?
Oh, you're pointing towards the thing.
I want to.
But I'm not going to speak, so I'm not going to say more.
Yeah, but it's where you're doing this towards. Is it towards the door where you're lit?
Towards his luggage that is being, I'd assume, walked away by the halfling.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry.
I want to throw a dancing light inside of the cage and see if it's bright enough to illuminate what's inside, or if the tarp was too thick,
or if it'll cast a shadow.
Dancing light, can you?
You can.
Put a dancing light through.
As long as it's within range. That's what it says, not within sight.
Oh.
I'm more thinking of, can the dancing light go through the tarp?
Oh, I want to create it inside of the tarp.
Huh.
Take your time. The tarp might be too thick anyway. I'm going to scare the heck out of whatever's inside of that.
So I'm going to say that with the tarp in place, it's difficult to cast directly into that space because it is heavy tarp and I was tied down. But you could, if you'd like, you can you can create a dancing light and then try to just do like an arcana check to try to like move it in such a way that you can get it inside of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Roll for it.
19.
19? Okay.
Ooh. All right.
So you have this little dancing light. I guess describe your, how do you conjure a dancing light?
I throw them out like dice.
Okay.
But in this case, instead of having orbs, I want to have kind of icicles. So I can try and maneuver it through and under wherever I can, okay. A gap.
Okay. So you throw out your dice. And it's weird because you can kind of see the sphere tumble. And as the sphere is tumbling, it's actually elongating into almost like a needle that tumbles end over end before slipping up underneath the tarp. And it is a thick tarp, and dancing lights only creates dim light. So you do have a faint glimpse of what appears to be two small figures or structures. It's hard to tell, but they it's like a finger puppet. It's just like a domed shape sticking up from the frame of the cage that has a sense of movement to it. But it two of them, yes. But it is hard to get any kind of real sense of proportion, just because of the thickness of the tarp.
Mm-hmm.
But as it does happen, you do hear a little come out from underneath the tarp.
Is anyone still there besides the bellhop? Like, Boko, did you already follow Ziggy inside?
If he indicated the cage, I would have looked over towards the cage and at least taken a pause.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're paying attention, you would have seen it. I imagine if you saw her dancing lights flipping along,
right,
you would
yeah.
have.
Yeah. I mean, is that settling?
What giggles like that?
Children?
No!
Just measuring the cage in my head. Is it... What? Could a child fit in there?
How big of a child?
Oh, dear. Toddler.
Toddler? It'd be snug for a toddler, but it's a fairly large size domed birdcage.
Okay.
Boko would fit in that no problem.
Oh.
Yeah. It's pretty decent size.
Okay, so a hatchling maybe. Two hatchlings?
Mr. Longfellow mentioned pixie?
Yeah.
Do pixies giggle?
I don't know anything about pixies. I mean, do I know anything about pixies? Would I know?
That's a good question.
I didn't know anything about dragons, I don't think. I'm going to say probably not.
I kind of, where would
Unless
I have
they're island dwellers.
He got them in Bayou.
Yeah.
He did not get them in Bayou. They started
in
searching in Bayou.
Okay.
Yes.
They were in Bayou when you found them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sorry. Marion, you can do a nature check for this because of your fey ancestry.
Oh,
natural one.
Natural one. Like, they might be from my home. I don't know.
Pixie.
Seemed alive.
Pixie.
Just saying the word over and
Semantic
over again.
Satiation. Means nothing now.
But yeah, they would not be on Boko's Island now.
Okay. Do I, do I feel safe to linger and long enough to see him put it on the train or load up? Is there too much sense of urgency?
Yeah. There is a bit of hustle bustle, a sense of urgency around the train, as well as you're like, as this is kind of happening, he's more or less loading a bunch of luggage onto a cart to take it down.
Okay.
And once he starts going, we're talking like a dozen cars down. So we're talking, you know, a dozen cars. We're talking something. Yeah, we're talking somewhere in like 700, 800 feet down that he's taking these carts down the platform.
Hey, excuse me, young man. I'm sorry that Mr. Longfellow was so rude to you.
It's okay. And he's just continuing to quickly stack boxes and crates, just kind of like He gave me a gold coin. I'm gonna do this quickly. This is also my job. A little bit rattled.
I love how your uniform matches the train. It's very beautiful.
When you make it up to Journeyman, they give you a standard one, but just for this little, you know, cart boys, we kind of have to make our own from the scraps that are left behind. So you can see I've got some patches here and there.
Oh, I think you wear them very well.
Thank you.
So are you joining us or will we be seeing you on the train?
No, I'll be here because this is my home, and like I just help load and unload stuff. I don't actually provide any function on the train itself.
Well, it seems like you provide a great function. Where will all these be going?
Oh, well, past steerage into the cargo area. That's where a lot of these crates are going to go. I'm going to see. I'll have to check in with Clementine to make sure I can get a key to the caboose. He'll probably have to fetch it from the conductor to be able to, you know, like it doesn't do any good if Clementine has the key. But I'm going to see if I can do that. Maybe I might be told no, so this might just end up in the cargo holds with the rest of things.
Oh, wow.
Please don't.
Not.
You're not with that guy, are you? I probably shouldn't have said so much.
No, that sucks, right?
Yeah. He was really rude to both of you.
Yeah, I
honestly.
He does have soft paws, though.
Oh, well, that's good. Oh. You don't, like...
just look at you curiously.
you had, like, a giant be mad at you before? Look at me. I'm 3.5 feet tall.
Are you allowed
He's
to carry
so much
a
bigger
sword
than me.
At work?
Hmm?
You allowed to carry a sword at work?
I've never tried.
I think it might help, at least with the confidence.
Interesting. Where do I get it? I mean, can I just? I don't make a lot of money. How much does this good sword cost?
You know, that's a good question. I got this one from my dad, so.
Maybe I can talk to my dad and he'll give me a sword.
Yeah, maybe.
Sure wish I knew where he was.
Oh, no. Well, maybe any father figure will do, right?
You're right.
Mr. Clementine seems awful nice.
Not really sure how sword distribution works. I'm sure you can buy them, though, in a pinch.
Okay. Yeah, I just...
There are some lovely ones at Perlin's Presence inside the theater. Maybe some good practice swords.
Oh, okay. Cool. I guess I'll have to go see a show or something. Why does the sword make you more confident?
Well, it just makes you feel a little bit more prickly. So you can... If somebody, you know, bothers you, you can bother them right back.
Okay, well, I don't really like to be a bother. Is that going to be a problem?
Well, I mean, maybe that's... Sometimes it's okay to be... You can stand up for yourself, at least, you know?
Can I?
You don't have to. You don't have to listen to me. Who am I? I think you deserve better.
Well, you're talking nice to me, so, you know...
I'm going to pat him on the head with my feathers.
Well, thank you. I guess I've listened to a lot of people who are nice to me. That doesn't always work out.
That's smart of you to recognize that, too.
Yeah, I don't have very good judgment.
Oh, no. Sorry to hear that. We should probably go.
But yeah, I need to get these carts to this luggage to the back before the train gets to move.
What's your name before we go? I need to be able to reference you in the future.
My name's Barley.
Marley.
Barley.
Barley. Sorry, Barley.
Like the cereal. Grain. Like the grain. Is it a cereal? I don't know.
I don't know. It's definitely a grain. We thought about that. I mean, it's a cereal in the sense that oatmeal's a cereal, right?
Yeah. Like the type of, like a class of grain.
DM notes. Look up barley. Cereal? Question mark.
Toasted barley, I think, is a snack in Ethiopia. And so we had it a couple of times. And it's really yummy, but it has to be toasted. I don't know what raw barley. Little barley nibs.
It might be like raw almonds versus toasted almonds, you know?
Raw almonds suck.
They do.
Just suck.
Anyways, Ziggy, what are you doing while this whole thing's happening?
So I'm assuming I'm going to be following behind our tabaxi friend, and so I wanted to just try to continue conversation with him. So I was going to just say, so Mr. Longpaw, are you headed just straight to Isant, or are you planning to go straight through tomorrow, or?
Longfellow. Can't believe I have to suffer this indignation.
Sorry, Longfellow.
Thank you.
How are you getting off at Isant, or are you planning to take this train all the way tomorrow?
I will probably have to switch trains in Isant.
I'm sorry, I haven't fully mapped out the train segment to give to you, but per our session zero, there is more of an internal train system that runs separately from the larger arteries that go out. So you, as a resident of Isant, would know that even if he goes, quote unquote, directly tomorrow, he would have to do at least two train switches to be able to switch lines.
So, Mr. Softfellow, how many party members did you have that you were with?
Do you see these? See them rub on my face? See.
Your
hands? Longfellow. Do you see my limbs? Longfellow. If you misname me again, this conversation is over. You were saying...
I was just asking how many party members you were with, because it seems odd, like you were saying, that you're the only one who ended up in the wrong place.
Half dozen of us or so, but... I don't know, I've kind of it's strange, I'm the leader of the whole band. We wouldn't have even gone on the expedition without me, but, oh well.
And as he's talking, he's like, checking out some of the, sleeping cars, going through the first class area, and it's like, oh man, I'm like,
taken,
anywhere he can. And goes through a couple of them, they seem to be more or less full. And then, as you're in the car, there are roughly five or six sleeping compartments in each of these first class cars. What you're used to with trains is there's a center aisle and then you have sleeping compartments on each side. These have an aisle on the side of the train and larger sleeping compartments that take up like 2/3 of the side of the train and the car. It houses fewer people, but they are much nicer quarters. And he's just continually peeking his head and trying to find a place where there is an opening. Looks like most of these cars would seat anywhere from 3 to 5 people, depending on size and stature. And he gets to the end of the first cart and moves on to the second first class car. It's getting a little more huffy, like,
I can't believe they don't even have a seat for me. First the ticket, now this.
Did you reserve a seat?
I mean, isn't that implied in the purchase of a ticket?
Well, some trains, you normally reserve what car you want to be in beyond just a ticket. I didn't actually check if that's how it works on this one. But you were saying about your expedition that you were the organizer of it. What?
Yes.
What led you to being interested in your whole journey?
Well, I've always had a keen eye for expensive and exotic things, and I just thought, perhaps, well, I want to get into the Academy of Mara. Can't divulge my reasons, very personal, but I thought, since they seem to be very strict on who they let in, I thought maybe if I find some marvelous discovery, I'll be able to wow them so much that they'll let me in,
What are you planning to do once you get in? I mean, that sounds like a solid plan, but...
No, I believe I said before, my reasons are my own.
And everyone in your party wanted in?
Well, I was paying them to help me. I didn't really talk to them much outside of telling them what to do.
What were their names?
There was a short one.
Short fellow?
I think his name was Scott. Well, I was... No, I don't really know.
I get it, Archie. I'm terrible with names.
Well, you're like, okay, well, obviously... You're like, dwarf. Orc. Peg leg. You start calling people by features, and you kind of forget about names,
Is that where your name comes from?
No, my name was given to me. I am of the Longfellow clan, I earned the name Softpaw for my exquisite works back at the academy.
Which academy?
It was for me to know. I've already said too much.
What kind of works inform having soft paws?
Well, things that are quite dexterous. I mean, for example, archaeological digs.
You do need the brushes sometimes.
I'm sorry, who are you and where did you come from?
I'm not here.
I just picture someone leaning out of one of the cars.
Yeah, a nosy person. I shut the door.
I mean, that makes sense. I just didn't know we had studies for digging.
Well, it's not just digging. It's more or less the history of the continents, you know? The more you dig, the more you find about our past, and the more you can theoretically inform the future. Or if you're like me, you just like finding fun things.
Would you say it's more or less the history of the continent?
I shut the door on that person.
Man, these eavesdroppers everywhere.
Still checking doors. And by this point in time, checking out all the different cabins, the second one from the end seems to be the only one that has much in the way of available space. But even as Archimedes opens the door to it, you see a tiefling person lounging quite luxuriously is not the correct word, but it is very much in the confidence and arrogance of someone who comes from material wealth. Mm. But is this tiefling person who has this midnight blue skin and their horns are kind of spiraled, almost like ram's horns. They have messy black hair and eyes that are dark, like pools of water. They're not quite black, but they're barely blue. He's lounging across one of the benches in this room, and he's wearing a dark ashen gray cloak. You can see what looks to be a scimitar leaned up against the bench that he is lounging across, and he has two like leather straps around his torso that have holsters on them. You don't see any kind of firearm at the moment, but he is just laid out in a little dark leather jerkin with these dark trousers and tall boots that are propped up and crossed on the far end of the bench. And upon seeing this, Archimedes is like, I've had enough of this. I'm just going to stay in the lounge, I guess. And he starts to head off through the other end of the cart.
So just want to gather my bearings here. Where he's heading off would be out of this car and into a car that's like a food car of some kind and out of first class.
Let me give you, you got in, so there's an engine and tender car. You got in at the front passenger car, which is a first class car. You then moved through another first class car. And as Archimedes heads off through the end of the car you're currently in, you can see beyond him as the doors are opening and stuff that there does appear to be some form of lounge on the other side of this.
First class only?
Presumably.
Oh.
And would I know if there is more first class cars beyond the lounge?
How close attention did you pay to the cars from the outside earlier?
I would have assumed that being someone who works on trains, I wanted to investigate the size and type of train we were on.
Okay. All right. So go ahead. Give me a... would you like to do do you want to do like an intelligence, like your mechanical ability, or like your arcana, like... Because it's probably intelligence, because it's something you studied. It's not that unknowingly innate magic thing.
Oh, just raw intelligence check?
Yeah. Okay. Unless you can think of something else.
22.
22? Okay. Yeah. So retroactively, like thinking about what you saw along the outside, you were dealing with you have the engine and the tender car. You recognize the first class car, which is the one that has the mural of Isant on it. There's another car that you assume to be first class, which you just walked through now, that has the mural with the different pieces of land with bodies of water, bridges, and people hunting across. There is then a what appears to be a lounge car that you move beyond. On the other side of the lounge car is a restaurant car. It's pretty easy to tell because you recognize the window frames, and also you can see some table. You could see some table settings pretty easily from the outside as you were examining the train. Behind that, it looks like another set of four passenger cars, standard issue, standard regulation, with a lounge separating them. So it's two and two with a lounge in the center. Beyond that, you get into cargo cars. There appear to be three or four of them, followed by a caboose, and the cargo cars is presumably where it's some there they would steerage would be.
And as we were walking along, did I see any other cars besides the one I'm currently in that seem to have three available sleeping spots?
Not in the first class lounge. Well, outside of the one here with the tiefling, no.
Okay. Then I'm going to just say, talk to you later, Archie. Hopefully see you in the lounge in the restaurant later.
And as the door kind of like slides shut, you know, you can hear him, Archie, the gong. keeps on going towards the lounge.
And then I'm going to turn. I'm assuming I'm still kind of near the door that the tiefling was behind. Yeah. I'm going to open that door, and I'm going to just set my big wrench down outside the door.
Okay.
Just as a kind of signal that I'm assuming when you guys walk the halls, you'll be able to see that. And so I'm going to walk in there and say, looks like we're bunkmates for the ride.
All right. Very good. Very good. So, what, well, I don't take up very much space myself. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Ziggy, nice to meet you. And I'll reach out my hand.
Very good to meet you as well.
And he reaches out to shake your hand. Kind of does one of those, like, he grasps your more of your forearm than your actual hand. It's like, very good. It's nice to meet you. I am Arno.
This is, well, I think this is my car for the evening. There's not much space aboard. I was a little late getting here.
It is a smaller train. You headed to Isant or going further on?
I am heading to Isant, yes, ultimately, but I might make a couple of stops along the way.
Oh, cool.
There are always interesting things to see on this edge of the continent. I am very interested in having a little bit of a lounge in the sun across the pont of Moutonmore, but that's...
Say I've ever tried that.
It's very nice and relaxing. You ever just spend an afternoon out on a boat in the sun?
Not on a boat, no. On a boat? Mostly trains, honestly.
Yes. Trains are nice too, but you don't get the direct you don't get the basque so much, you know?
That's true.
But excuse me, and he like gets his feet off the edge of the bench and like, you know, sits upright, taking up less of the space to all, you know, be a little bit of an air of politeness as he's trying to like not just completely consume all of the space here in what he's already recognized to be a cramped vehicle.
Oh, no worries. Stay comfortable, and I'm also going to lounge out.
All right, then.
I'm sure we'll have to make room. I have two more friends coming, but for now, relax.
Okay, two more friends. Full-on party, huh? How, childhood friends?
New friends.
New friends. Actually. Oh, Interesting. Sorry, I didn't even ask. Is this home for you here in Burlington? Is this trip?
I'm from Isant. I was out here for work.
Okay.
Business trip.
Business trip. All right. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. End up, see you lay down that big old thing by the door. What kind of work are you in?
Mechanic of sorts. I actually work on trains, hence the being around trains a lot. Part of the Gage Guild, if you've ever heard of them.
Oh, yeah. I do know the Gage Guild. I've been, my cousin...
A man of culture.
My cousin is not the nicest about the Gage Guild. You know, the whole... he's one of the miners, and a bit of a rivalry there.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so it's... Yeah, I probably haven't heard the best stories, but I don't really care enough to take them personally or to, like, hate you or anything.
That's good. It's... I don't get the hate, because I mean, like, we in the Gage Guild, we create versus like the miners, they just destroy what's already there, you know? So it's like, there's not a lot to build off of.
Yeah, you do have a very good point. I should I should tell my brother that, see if I can tick him off real good. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Very nice. So, is these other friends, are they also engineers?
No, we actually met in Perlintown. I'm still getting to know them, honestly, but they did help me on a train while I was there, so I guess you could call them engineers in training, but not formally.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting. So are you taking them back to Isant to, like, induct them formally, or?
If they're interested. I mean, I'm mostly just home, and they were both headed this way anyway, so we could catch a ride together.
Very good. All right. That's exciting. I like it. Okay. So, yeah, it's nice to have a little bit of a party, you know?
It is. I noticed, by the way, your guns, are they missing?
Oh, no. I just like to pack them away, store them away when I'm traveling, just because...
Oh, understandable.
You know, like when you lounge out, and he like crosses his arm underneath, it's not as comfortable when you have a couple of pistols underneath there.
I respect that so much.
So, and yeah, and so like you can see that... where he was lounging out, there's actually a little bit of a satchel that's kind of, the strap is wrapped around it to kind of like a makeshift pillow, and that's what he was kind of lounging across.
I totally get what you mean, and as I say that, I'm going to kind of like pull out some of my small wrenches and just kind of set them beside me as well.
Trying to fit in.
And so, I imagine fairly soon, I think we should switch back to you guys, because I imagine... What y'all did with the bellhop took probably about as much time as his time with Archimedes. So, what were y'all doing after seeing the cargo boy off?
I probably give Marion a bit of a pitying look. like, that guy could use some self-esteem.
Oh, boy.
Let's see, we get on the train.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's get settled
and just, yeah, have fun. And
maybe on the way, did you hear what he said about the conductor having a key to the steerage car?
Yeah.
Okay.
I noted that.
I just thought maybe.
And it might not end up in there.
Yes. Maybe in cargo.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's as locked down or not.
Probably now, worse than that.
Just so there's no misunderstanding.
Yeah.
The key is to the caboose, not
steerage. Oh, not steerage.
Steerage is the, like, the poor people.
Oh, yeah.
Economy.
Yeah. Yes. All of us in our usual plane flights. Yes, that's what steerage is. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that wasn't something that took hold.
Poor people's car. Yes, sorry.
One poor people's ticket, please.
Did you hear?
I have no shame in asking that.
Did you hear him say that the conductor might have a key to the cargo hold?
In the caboose.
To the caboose?
Yeah.
Hold on. Just give me a second to find where I totally wrote that down. I'm going to cross it out, but it might take me 15 seconds. I'm on the wrong page. Now, how do we, I look at my ticket, know where to go?
You know, I just figured we'd open some doors.
Yeah, no, that sounds great.
I look around, is there anyone who looks official on the floor?
Are you on the platform or have you stepped onto the train?
Yeah, stepped onto the train.
Stepping onto the train, there does appear to be a little dwarven fellow with like dark brown hair. Dark brown hair. It almost looks black. And he's got one of those green vests, and he's just strutting along like,
all right, here. Everyone, let me check your ticket. Here you go.
Perfect.
All right, very good.
Great.
And he goes to the next coach.
Excuse me,
like,
very sir?
Good. Yes, very good. Hello.
Where do we go?
You have a ticket?
Yeah, right here.
Very good. Let me take a look. First class, very good. Any of these carts where you can find space, you go for.
Okay.
Okay.
We just knock on some doors.
Okay.
I'm going to knock on the first door I see.
The door, like, slowly slides open, and there's just this elven woman just like on practically like on a chaise lounge. Just with this long velvety robe. And she's like, yes.
Hey, is there any room in this car?
No. She waves her hand and it slides shut.
Does it look like there's any room in the car?
There could be room, but she's probably not going to make any for you.
Okay. Noted. Okay. I can come back you can certainly carve myself out some room if needed.
You certainly can if you'd like, but initially quite brisk.
Next door.
All right.
Just going to go down the line.
Well, you little gnomish woman opens up and she's like, hi, we're kind of full in here. And they're like, you can see she has like six kids with her that are like bouncing on the different platforms. Like, it's okay, it happens all the time. Slides it shut. Oh. And like, right as that happens, like a paper airplane whips out and like taps Boko on the beak.
Oh, good shot.
You know what? Maybe if Ziggy didn't go too far, I don't know how. This train is huge. I'm going to try and send a message to him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Ziggy, we're a little bit lost near the entrance that we got onto the train. We're just, where do we go?
Can I hear that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's close.
Oh, then I'll just respond. Just keep walking down the hall. You'll see my wrench outside our room.
Oh, okay. Ziggy said just keep walking and he has his wrench outside.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Thank goodness.
Yeah. That makes this a lot less awkward.
Yes, I didn't like either of those rooms that we just saw.
Yeah, that was second one. A lot. Yeah.
No room. Okay. We'll walk down the hall until we see a wrench.
Okay.
Are we going to hit like an area between cars where we have to...
There is like a set of... there is a little bit of a step onto like a bridge across some coupling to get into the next car, but it's nothing
air?
Terribly treacherous. It is open air, but it's not cool. It's not treacherous at this point in time. Okay.
Is it intuitive?
Yeah. Okay. It's like the door opens. There is like like above the coupling. There's almost like a shield, like a little platter that kind of actually lays down on top of the coupling, so it protects the coupling and gives a good foot platform to step across it.
Okay. We'll continue on.
All right. And you go into the next door. And as you go into the next room, or the next caboose, as you go into the next car, it's pretty easy to see his giant wrench leaning against a door on the far end.
Oh, good. There it is.
I'm going to just walk over and open the door and assume that this is the right room.
Okay, so y'all walk over.
I'll grab the wrench as well.
You open the door, you gotta pick up this big old wrench. Probably got like two-handed at your size. And I gotta know, is this like a claw thing? Or are you tucking it under a wing? I feel like Boko would be spunky about this somehow.
I pick it up and then just like roll it onto my back.
Okay.
Pick it up in a claw, roll it onto my back, and balance it with my wings.
Sorry if it felt like I was forcing you into doing that.
No,
I just, I don't know. Felt like something Boko would. But as you do that and you open the door, you see this tiefling person that I described earlier lounging out, and you see Ziggy lounging out on the bench opposite with a stack of his wrenches next to him.
Oh, okay. I'll just go, I'll kind of lay it down next to one of his, next to his stack.
Okay.
Somewhat neatly, but it probably bonks a couple of them.
Thanks, Boko. Meet our new friend, Arno.
Ooh. Hello. Very good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you as well.
Ah.
I offer him some feathers.
Very nice, very nice. He gives you a feather and he's like, gives a nice hearty shake to you and then goes to Rabin and is like, a pleasure. And he gives a little peck on the paw.
Oh, ooh. Thank you.
You know,
the
very
pleasure
welcome.
Is mine.
No, the pleasure is definitely mine. I have these new friends in this car. You're all going to Isant, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. I sort of going there myself, perhaps a couple of stops along the way. We'll see how I feel when I get there. Eh? But it is very good to have you here. Is there, Well, let me get situated a little bit. Let me allow a little more room for everyone.
Oh, nonsense. I pull out my cape and I just kind of put it out on the floor and then loaf onto it. I'm good here.
Okay, very good.
He's still kind of just like out of politeness, like sits upright and like kind of situates their stuff just to be, you know, have the seat available if anyone wants it.
There is also a centaur in this car, yes. Did I mishear that earlier?
Yes, you misheard that.
Okay. Miss.
Tiefling and something else. Just a tiefling.
Just a tiefling.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know how I misheard that. Well, you now. Yeah. Okay.
Also, Mr. Softfellow headed into the lounge car. He didn't seem to want to try to squeeze in here with us.
Good. I mean,
after
we
got him on the train.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. I think he's convinced that he was the leader of the party because he hired them. But he didn't even know their names.
Oh.
One was Scott, I think.
Oh.
But that's about it.
Maybe he's not the most competent. Oh, we were just talking to the, the guy taking the luggage and trying to assess out where it was going. We found out. I look around. Some information about the cage.
The tiefling leans closer in.
I don't fully understand what is happening, but
there was
this seems interesting.
The stripy guy?
Stripy guy.
The orange guy?
Oh, the beagle, the white tufts, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He had a cage.
He had a cage, wait.
Oh, yeah, with giggling stuff in it. It was...
Strange, very strange.
Yeah.
So, is he part of your party as well?
No, he was very rude.
Oh, but I'm sorry to hear that.
Mostly not to us, so it's not that bad.
Okay,
but,
well, it's still...
I mean, it was still sucked, yeah.
Not nice people are not nice people.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice weapon there.
Oh, yes.
Point
at
the scimitar.
You like it? Ah, it's very good.
What do you typically use it for?
Oh, you know, anytime you get into a little bit of trouble with things.
Sorry, what happened?
Not a centaur.
Scimitar.
Scimitar takes about as much room as a centaur.
Much smaller.
Yes, and so he picks it up, and it has kind of a black leather scabbard, but on the tip of it and a little bit of a ring at the top, there is like kind of a brass finish to it. And the handle itself is still has that. It has a black look to it, but it appears more wooden, but it has like really fancy silver embellishments, like kind of almost looks like they were like finely tamped into the wood. They're filigreed, I believe. Something along those lines is the word I'm looking for. But it has this massive hand guard on it. It's kind of ridiculous and overly intricate. But he just takes it, he picks up and does a little flourish flip with it. It's like, be my guest.
Oh. I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll do a swipe through the air.
Oh.
In the scabbard?
No, out.
Okay, okay. Do you draw the sword from the scabbard or do you grab it? Okay. So you pull it from the scabbard, he just kind of, you know, lowers the scabbard and steps back a little bit. And he's like, this
wonderful lady has been with me through many a scrape. I call her the Robin's Eye.
Mm. Is there an origin to that beautiful name?
You might notice a little bit of a sparkle in the hilt. It just reminded me of a dame I knew.
Oh.
But yes, it has been a very faithful companion to me. Ironically, unlike Robin herself, but what can you do? Anyways.
I'll put it back
right,
together.
It's nice to share a friend with other friends, if that makes sense. Sets it back down.
Do you use it often, then?
Not so much these days. I prefer not to use violence when I don't have to.
Oh.
You might have... I feel like talking is how we solve the problems of this world.
You must be a grown-up. How old are you?
I am a grown up, yes.
Yeah, that's what all the, you know, the where I come from, you know, they go out, they have their adventures, and then they come back and they settle down once they're grown ups, and they teach people things and, you know, do all sorts of other civic duties and blah, blah, blah.
Ah, well, I am an adult in my culture, yes, if that is what you're asking.
Yeah. Is it, sorry, do you not want to talk about how old you are? Is that?
Oh, no, it's fine. I'm 37.
Oh.
Yeah, not too young, not too old.
Okay.
Just, old enough to feel it in my knees, but not necessarily my heart.
You're hitting home.
Happy birthday, dear.
When he says that, I'm just going to bend my legs a little and just pay attention to how it feels and be like, okay, no, I'm not feeling nothing. I think I'm good.
So yeah, Ziggy's still a little bit on the younger side.
Where are you from when you say in your culture?
Oh, no, my culture. It is more, it's not so much where I'm from so much as the people I come from. Mm-hmm. My
ancestry?
Yes, my ancestry. I have come of age, shall we say.
Mm. 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 What age is that? Just out of curiosity. I'm doing that right now,
It varies. Sometimes it's 25, other times it's closer to 32, 33.
Wow.
My younger sister is still figuring it out. She's 28. Mm. She's quite a bit younger than me.
Is she on adventures right now?
Adventures, it's less of... I guess, what do you mean by adventures, huh?
I don't know. Going out and searching the world for something, or...
Is that
what you're
doing?
Up with a party. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah. How does that work for you, huh?
Well, yeah. We go out on an adventure. We meet a party of, you know, rapscallions or scoundrels or do-gooders.
Scallywags. Yeah. So on and so forth.
Yeah.
And sea dogs.
Yep. And then we, you know, have some adventures until we find what we're looking for, and then we come home.
And what is it that you're looking for?
Oh, usually just a challenger.
A challenger?
Yeah, to challenge my father in Mortal Kombat.
Well,
Don't worry, you don't qualify. You're not a rooster.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make it clear. I prefer not to use Robin to take a life. All right. I just, you know.
Plus, I'm just starting this adventure.
I like to help out where I can.
Kind of want it to last a little longer than this.
Oh, yes. Is that, how long have you been on an adventure?
Oh, it's been only...
About a week. A
couple days, right?
This is the fifth day. You're going on to the train. Yeah. Train is to 10 p.m. train out of here on the fifth day.
It's only been 5 days of real recording.
It hasn't even been a week.
Yes, it hasn't been months. Months and months.
Bogo, I've never asked you how long a typical adventure lasts for a hen.
Oh,
what's the average?
You know, I don't know what the average is. I know my mom's was 6 months.
Wow.
But she was she banded up with a bunch of gnomes.
Was that considered quick?
You know, I haven't asked many other hens. Maybe I should have. I guess I just figured I'd compare stories when I got back, you know?
Mm.
I just mostly grew up hearing my mom's stories.
So your mother, she was adventurer too?
Yeah.
Oh, very fun. She had, she also have one of those shiny babies.
He points to the jewel atop the hilt of your short sword.
I go swish, and I pull it out one of these.
He pulls back for a moment because he didn't expect a full-on sword to be drawn. He's like, yeah, very nice. You seem quite skilled with that.
I hand it to him. Oh, if you want, good.
He picks it up and it's like a long dagger in the hand of a normal-sized person.
Probably expected that.
And they look at it and just examine it. Actually, kind of take a moment to balance the fingers underneath the blade, right near the hilt, just kind of get a sense of the balance on it.
kind of runs fingers along the blade. It's like, ah, very finely sharpened. I suppose you, what do you do, daily, weekly? How do you?
Let's say weekly. I make a mental note to sharpen it weekly.
She's it's a very fine sword. You should take good care of it.
Oh, thank you.
Gives you a little nod as he hands it back.
I put it back in my sheath.
Does your sword have a name, Boko?
No. I figured they have to earn a name, right? How did you name your sword? Meta Lady?
The sparkle on the silver reminds me of her.
I'll have to think about that.
And we never got a chance to ask you, Arno, what's your job? Like, what are you doing here?
Oh, I just wander about to and fro, trying to take odd jobs. And,
what's your specialization?
Specialization? I am very good at finding information and being able to, move to and fro more or less, blending in with whoever I need to blend in with to get information that's needed for my, whoever's willing to pay me, really.
Are you an investigator?
You could say that. Why do you ask?
Check this out. I go into my bag and I pull out the hat box and I open the hat box and I put on the hat.
Oh, that's, it's nice.
It's
very sparkly.
Burgeoning investigator in my own right.
Very good. Do you mind if I give you a tip?
Sure.
Love the hat. Absolutely love
the hat. Thank you. It was a gift.
Don't be that overt when you're actually doing the investigating.
Oh.
Generally, keep a lower profile.
Okay.
It's
the hat's for...
Yeah, it's for you. It's for your enjoyment. Thinking.
Yeah.
It's, have you ever, when you talk to people and they know you're trying to, like, get them to say something or do something, uh-huh. something like that. It makes them a little resilient to what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's, I find it best to not be so obvious.
Okay. Well, my mom always said that you could just, especially if you're talking to a man, all you have to do is shut up and they'll tell on themselves.
I've never heard that one. I shall have to watch what I say.
I would like to try and suss him out in regards to his work.
Give me
put my hat away.
An insight check.
I wonder if he has the same hat.
Oh, it was so good. And then I rolled over to a natural one.
You're like, this guy's pretty cool. Procuring things. What does that mean? Getting information? I like information.
However information you want to do that. Is power.
It certainly is.
Oh. I think I'm thinking it to myself, but sorry, I say it out loud. And I'm nodding.
I thought I caught the accent in there.
Oh, no, it was there. Okay. It was there.
All right.
Marian has an accent when she thinks to herself, because...
Don't we all?
Oh, interesting that it's the southern one, though. Because you do have two.
Do we go through this? Does she think in a southern accent when she is in a different form?
This is Raz, something to explore British, later,
perhaps.
Think in a southern accent. Interesting. Wouldn't that be kind of like a hang up? Like when you're trying to learn a second language, but you're still thinking in the first language? Like,
yeah.
Does that happen? You think translate. In one accent, you got to translate the accent.
Yeah, I'm someone who can not speak two languages. So. Anyone bilingual, let us
anyone
know.
Anyone with a scrap of culture in their blood.
Exactly.
Let us know.
So what was your latest job?
My latest job? I haven't really taken a job in a while. I've been... wondering about. I just, I talked about the going off to Moten Moor and just enjoying life out in the ponds. I do that from time to time.
And then what brought you over to Perlintown?
The winds, really.
Did you see the play?
The play?
Yeah, the play at the Perlin Theater.
I did not. I spent much more of my time in the taverns about the area.
Oh, did you go to the Grenadine Grove?
I did. I lost a lot of money at cards.
Oh.
And have not been back since.
Is it possible for me to draw from my memory and recover if he was the person at the table with the sea elf?
Go
who's
ahead
playing cards
and use do an insight check or you can do a raw intelligence check for memory if you'd like.
I can choose.
Yeah,
I'm having a bad day, you guys. 7.
Possible. You're like, this guy's a tiefling, that was a tiefling, but you don't remember many of the finer details.
I'm just being racist. You can ask.
Were you there earlier today?
Catastrophe.
Earlier today? No, I've been wandering about.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cause I asked because we were actually at Grenadine Grove just before coming here.
Oh, you were. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Just having a ball?
Yeah, did some dancing, drank with Robert Perlin a little bit, and now we're here.
Oh, so you know Robert then?
Oh yeah, Bobby Boy. Yeah.
Hey, Bobby Boy, if not, it's a new one for me.
He doesn't like it. But.
No? Oh, no. Okay, so you're close, but not that close?
Something like that.
Okay. So, how do you know Robert, I guess? This is, you don't meet many people who know Robert.
Oh, I was working on a train while I was in town.
Ah, the trains, of course.
So, did you head further east to Perlin's Pier at all?
I don't really recall. I haven't been there recently, but I've been up and down the coastline a bit in my days.
And as the conversation is progressing, you do hear a little bit of a... And the guy goes, all aboard! And the train starts to... And you start to get the movement as the train begins to leave the station.
Oh, it looks like we're off.
It does indeed. I need to go check with a couple of companions of mine wandering about.
Are you here for work?
I am not at the moment.
Oh.
You have some friends on the train as well, though?
Here and there. They have been there. I don't know. They decided we would rather spend time in the lounge drinking, you know. But,
Well, let us know, because it would be great to meet them and maybe drink and eat together later. We're going to be on the train for a while.
Oh, yeah, of course. It'd be very nice to have you. And, if I don't see you, I'll see you tomorrow, I suppose.
Mm. All right, nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you as well.
Is there a window in the car?
Yes, there is. There are actually, with the size of these, there are actually be two... fairly decently sized windows on the side.
Wow.
I'm going to stand up on the bench in front of the window and just look out the window.
Okay. As you hop up and look out the window and you start to slowly move out of the station, you can see the little halfling boy rolling an empty cart back into the around, kind of disappears around behind the ticket kiosk.
I'm going to wave some feathers at him just in case he looked up.
I'm going to go ahead and just do a flat. To 19, I'll say, like, yeah, he catches a bit of movement and just kind of sticks the hand up.
Yay!
Not quite sure who it is at this distance, but Right. Cool. It's like, you know, when people just like to wave at trains, you know?
Yeah.
Ever wave at a boat?
Have you ever been in a train waving out the window? It's, it just feels good.
Lay us back. And you all begin to move out of the station.
Is the car, I guess, how is the car illuminated, the compartment? Is it so illuminated that once we leave the station, like, we're only going to have our reflection in the window? Because it's so dark outside.
It is, yeah. As long as the, for the most part, there are, you're in first class, actually. So rather than, you have what look like both along the walls outside as well as, you have one on each of the, say the front of the train is north and the back of the train is south, just to get bearings. So on the north wall and the south wall of this compartment, on each opposite sides, there is what looks like, it looks like an oil lantern fixture, but it's been tinkered with and retrofitted. So it actually has some form of blue-yellow glowing crystal that is giving off light. And it still has the, and it's weird because it's like the reservoir where the oil sits is where this glow is coming from. It still has the cover on the top, but it's in the base of the thing that it, the glow comes. And there's still the little dial that's used to move the wick on the side of this kind of retrofitted fixture.
So it's not a magic light by the looks?
It is a magic light.
Oh, it's
light.
Okay, it is.
It's it appears that a standard oil lantern fixture has been retrofitted to have more of a crystalline glow. There's some other form of energy source in it.
Does it glow the colors of the crystal at all, or is it just like white light?
It's right now it's glowing kind of a like a yellow blue, yeah.
Cool.
You can turn the dial on the side if you like.
I would love to.
Okay. So as you turn the dial, it's it actually changes the color of the light. But it's the it's color paired with intensity. So as you rotate it kind of clockwise to it, you would assume to be up, it moves further from yellow and further into blue. And the room illuminates more. Ooh. And then if you rotate the other way, it gets less intense and turns more orange, red, as the light is a bit, a little bit warmer.
How red does it get?
Guys, we got mood light.
Yeah, it's not like photography red room red, okay. But it gets.
It doesn't get spooky.
No, it's like we're talking like red firelight.
Okay.
Kind of
red.
Do you guys want it low light?
I'm pretty sleepy. I'm thinking about just falling asleep here.
Me too. Sleep. I definitely need to sleep.
Yeah, let's go with the low light.
All right. I'm going to leave it at the soft red level.
Very good. We're definitely saying that in character, not in person.
Yeah. It's bedtime.
We could tell spooky stories before bed if you want.
Ooh, I want to hear a spooky story,
Boko.
I
don't know any spooky stories.
Did your mom tell you any? Does your mom have any scary sounds and adventures you could tell us about?
Ooh.
As a bedtime story?
Probably, but not that I could think of.
While you guys are talking, I'm going to take off my goggles that have just kind of been sitting around my neck for the last while and take my big wrench and just kind of lightly tap them a couple times, and they're going to just shimmer blue a little bit.
Oh.
I'm just doing that in the background.
Oh, cool.
Very good. Is there anything else you all want to do before I'm supposed to turn it in for the night? Yes?
I don't know. Maybe I'll... What time of the day is it?
The train departs at 10 p.m. You literally got the last train out of there.
Okay.
And
I'll just snoop around the cars a bit and see if I can get a bit of a lay of the land. Nothing too specific. Just like walk into one car, look around at what's there, then the next.
Okay. So you went... From when you first hopped on, you walked through the first class car.
Yeah.
And you went to another first class car. If you continue on in the same direction of travel, you'll see the lounge. And in the lounge, you can see...
Is there like a bar?
There is a bar there, yes.
Nice.
And looking around, you can see kind of in one corner, hold up by himself, is Archimedes. And just looking as indignant as ever, just sipping from a highball, just... grimace on his face. Just
does he
annoying.
Hold it up to his chin and lick? Does he dip his paw in there? Then lick his paw.
I did not think about how Tabaxis drink fluids. Use your imaginations, everyone. Okay. I will not make this canon. Whatever you think is
my
most fun,
is that
do it.
Indignantly dipping his paw into
his soft paws.
And also you see that at the bar, Arno is sitting there nursing a little bit of a shorter drink. And next to him there is also a small male dwarf.
Mm.
Just seems to be having a similar drink, and they just
different
seem to be
one
casually
than the
chatting. Yes, this is not a worker dwarf. This is a passenger dwarf. What a strange sentence.
Is it just him and the dwarf at the bar?
Right now, yeah. Okay. It's pretty late into the evening, even as the train is just now starting out. But did you want to continue?
Yeah, or I'll just continue. Keep
it. Okay. South of that is the, or further down the train towards the caboose, is the, to the aft. Is that right? Is aft correct?
I hope yeah. so.
To the aft there is...
It's the boat word.
Yeah. There is a restaurant car. It does not seem to be currently operating. It looks like most of the operations have shut down.
Makes sense.
And if you continue further than that, you'll come across more passenger cars that seem to be the fairly standard center aisle with a bunch of sleeping compartments on each side.
Okay. So I peek into that one and then go... Yeah, probably not right now.
Okay.
Probably not worth investigating anything here.
All right, sounds good.
And then I head back.
All right, head back. All right. Anything that y'all are doing in this time?
Out like a light.
Out like
fighting
a light.
Fighting with Boko, wiped.
Yeah, after Boko heads out, I'm going to put my goggles on and lay down.
Okay.
Over your, put them over your eyes?
Sleep with your goggles
on? When there's a light on.
Oh. Yeah, I'll just go back to the car and put my cape back on because it was on the floor. And find a bench, maybe? Loaf on a bench?
Yeah, okay. Sounds good. You do actually, wandering, like, messing around in the compartments, you do discover that the benches actually fold down and there are actually bed sort of frames to it. And they're not the most luscious beds you've ever seen, but they're pretty darn good for a train car. Mm. They're at least you won't feel the hard surface beneath you at the very yeah. least. So I don't know if y'all
did you guys I would have
opened.
Okay, you would have opened. Okay,
they you're on collapse.
One. You just collapse. Yeah. Like floor bench.
Bench.
All right, and okay, I guess that's what's before you.
All right, yeah, I'm hopping on.
Hopping on the bed. One of the oats. Okay, all right. So. Kind of pop on gingerly, try to figure out a way that you can
do
shift around into Ziggy's space.
Yeah.
Hopefully without waking him. Maybe she does wake you.
I'd assume I'm not quite asleep yet, and I just kind of make room.
Okay. All right. Okay. Sounds good. And now they're able to start to drift off for the night. If you would, each of you give me a constitution check.
Oh.
Nat 20.
Okay.
17.
I think 9. Yes, 9.
Okay. Constitution was not the right thing. Keep those... Sorry. Make a perception check for me with disadvantage.
Ooh, that is different.
Would mine just be regular?
Because... Yours is not visual, though. This is okay. not visual. This is different.
15.
15.
Still 9. Wait.
8.
8.
Actually, 11.
11. Okay. So the DC was 10, unfortunately. So after a few hours of slumber, Ziggy is out like a light. And Marion and Boko just rouse for a brief moment as they hear a little shuffling, a little bit of noise. And best you can make out of the dark, in the dark, Arno's like trying to carefully move through the compartment, like now with these sleeping companions. And he actually reaches for his satchel that he left behind earlier and kind of takes a brief moment, looks around and exits again with his satchel.
Ooh, he had left his satchel before?
Yeah. And we didn't go through it?
That would be very rude.
Dang.
And
what if it was on purpose? What if it was a good thing we didn't go through the stranger's satchel? Is that possible?
And nothing else really notable happens. After that, you're able to pretty easily drift right back off to sleep. Hmm. And
but do I?
That is where... We will leave you until next time.
Okay.
Whose dream are we going to be in next time?
Thank you all for joining us this evening. Just a reminder, hindsight20-20.com. Go to find extras and recipes so you can enjoy some of our, I don't know, just our eats and stuff. It's, you know, foods and games. It's fun. Continue to like and rate us and comment and all those good things on your listening platform of choice. And you can also always like us, comment, so on and so forth at hindsight20_20 on Instagram or team@hindsight20-20.com for email, comments, questions, etc. And without further ado, we will see you all next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.